This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. We extend to you a warm-hearted welcome from the radio and internet ministry of Christian Crusaders on this first Sunday in Advent. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are thankful you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us again next Sunday on this station.
Do you live with a low degree of jealousy, wishing you had just a little bit more, and wondering why you don't have as much as others who are close to you? We're going to talk about that in a sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we have celebrated Thanksgiving. We pray that our hearts may be filled with thanking you for all that you have done for us. We realize, O God, that of all the people on the face of this earth, there are none who have been blessed more than we. And that has come from the bounty of your hands. Grant, O God, that we may understand that we may understand as a nation how merciful and gracious and loving you have been to us from the very beginning of this blessed nation until today. And all of that is by grace, not that we have merited it, but that you have given it to us. So grant that we then may give you our lives in thanksgiving. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hear the word of God as it is recorded in the 15th chapter of St. Luke's Gospel, beginning with verse 28. And may I just bring you up to date on this reading. It's a story of the prodigal son. And you'll recall that after a lot of unrighteous living, the son had decided to go home. He has arrived home, and the father is so thankful that he throws a party. And now, beginning in verse 28, the older brother became angry and refused to go into the party. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, "Look, all these years I've been slaving for you, never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him." "My son," the father said, "you are always with me, and everything I have is yours, but we have to celebrate and be glad because this day of ours, your brother who was dead is alive again. He was lost and is found." Here ends a reading of God's holy word.
For the beauty of the earth, for the glory of the skies, for the love which from our birth over and around us lies, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise, grateful praise. For thyself gift divine to our race so freely given, for that great, great love of thine, peace on earth and joy in heaven, Lord of all, to thee we raise this our hymn of grateful praise, for the joy of human love, brother, sister, parent, child, friends on earth and friends above, for all gentle thoughts and mild, Lord of all, to thee I raise this my hymn of grateful praise. This my hymn of grateful, grateful praise.
Friends in Christ, most of us have had our bouts with jealousy. Perhaps it started way back when we were just little children. Did your mother ever have to tell you how jealous you were when she brought home your baby brother or sister from the hospital? You had had the prominent place in that home, and now you had to share it. And many mothers have a story to tell how they had to fight jealousy right away. They're interesting little stories. Dr. Charles Swindoll, in his book, The Tale of the Tardy Ox Cart, tells a very interesting incident in his own life. He writes, and I'm going to read this. "I remember an occasion when I was dating my wife. She had promised a fellow that she would go with him to the Texas A&M football game. I didn't want her to go, sort of felt I had all the rights. But she went to the game. It was a common practice after each Aggie touchdown for the fellow to kiss his date. I listened to the radio fervently, praying that they wouldn't score. I recall the first touchdown that took place. Then they made another one a little later on. I don't think A&M ever made so many touchdowns in one game as they made in that one. The score was 48-0, and I just seethed on the inside. Little did I realize how destructive that would have been to our relationship if that had continued. Through the patience of my wife, with one given to jealousy, that's been overcome. I dealt with it, and I got over it." Now, that's jealousy in the life of a person on the college campus, and it follows us throughout all of life. What is jealousy? Well, to follow our theme, it is a destructive emotion that is displeasing to God and takes the fun out of living. What I'd like to do today, then, is take that last part of that marvelous parable of the prodigal son, which deals with the older son. I haven't preached on that nearly as much as I did on the younger son who went away and wasted all of his money. But it is one of the best parables that Jesus ever told, one that is known by a lot of people. You recall the younger son, just let's summarize it so you have the setting. The younger son demanded his share of the inheritance, and his father gave it to him. And he went out, and he spent it on unrighteous living. And finally, when he had no money left, he decided that he would come back to his father and confess his wrong and ask for a place in the employ of his father. But when the father saw that the child was coming, he was so elated that he decided he was going to throw a great big party for this prodigal who had returned. When the older brother heard this, he was very, very angry. It's a good case of jealousy. Jealousy, for now the father's mind was focused on the son, the younger son, the one who had done nothing but destroy what his father wanted him to be and do. So he decided, I'm going to stay outside. I'm not going to go to the party. And the father got that news, and so he went outside, and he said to him, you know, son, I'm disappointed. Haven't we had the good life together? When you and I were here, we shared something every day about how things were going. Didn't we enjoy sitting there at those great meals and revealing our love? And then we brought people in and we had a good time with them in a nice setting. During those days, you might have thought your brother was having a great time. He was out there living the fast life, living, as you say, with the prostitutes, and was perhaps indulging in a lot of alcohol and the rest. He wasn't happy. Finally, he came to the end of his ropes, and he didn't have any money. His health was probably hurt, and then he had to go home and say, I have sinned. Everything that I have, he said to the older son, is yours. It's all yours. And I am so grateful for what you have done. But just remember this. Your brother, who I thought was dead, is alive. Who I thought was lost has come home. And for that we return our thanks and we cry out, welcome home. Now come in and join us. Come and join the party. Jealousy has been defined by the dictionary as becoming apprehensive of the loss of another's exclusive devotion. And I think that would fit in pretty well with the older son of the story of the prodigal son. He had become apprehensive of the loss of his father's love because at that particular time, the devotion seemed to be exclusively with the younger son. Jealousy reveals that there is something wrong with our relationship with the Lord. It's immaturity. It's spiritual immaturity. It doesn't mean it doesn't mean that we are not Christian. Because we are never perfect simply because we bear the name of Jesus Christ. But it means that we have a long way to go in our maturing to live the way that the Lord Jesus wants us to live. And that's the purpose of this sermon, to point out how serious jealousy can be and what a destructive sin it can also be. When we are jealous, we are doing something to ourselves that is not good. We are not satisfied with our own talents. We're not satisfied with the challenges that the Lord has given to us. You can take where you are and compare yourself with somebody in the same work that you're in. And you could say, look at all of the publicity he gets. See how he is so talented. I could not begin to do some of these things. And it just eats inside of you until you wonder. You aren't thankful for all that God has given you because there's something more that you really want. Now, let's try to bring this right down to everyday living. For example, in our families, is it not true that sometimes two girls can have jealousy towards one another? The one might be a little better looking. And so the one who doesn't have that particular gift looks at her sister and she thinks, oh, if I could only be like her. If I could only dress up and really cause people to take a second look at me. Whereas the good-looking one says, oh, if I could only be like my sister. She has so many talents. How beautifully she plays that piano. She has the edge on me when it comes to the academics. The teachers are sometimes wondering why she got so much and I got so little. Or two brothers who equally want to be athletes. And the one seems to be just a natural athletic, and he hears the coach saying, boy, is that guy athletic. I really want to use him in the very best way I can. And the Friday night comes in high school or the Saturday afternoon in college, and the stands are filled, and the people are shouting and jumping up and down for all of the good things that are happening because of this boy's athletic ability. And a brother sits there on the bench. There's bound to be some jealousy. There's a popularity. There's a person who's got the winsome personality. And as a one who's kind of withdrawn and sits back and looks on. Why can't I have that popularity? Why was I not born with that personality? And then you get out of those school days and you get into the working world and the one has a lot of financial success. He makes all kinds of money, lives in a lavish home, takes trips and all the rest. And you find that it is necessary for your spouse to work in order that you can make both ends meet. How'd that happen? Where does God fit into this picture? How is it that I've always been known as Pete's brother or Mary's sister? And then he gets along into middle age and the body begins to show some signs of wear and tear. And one of your siblings is in very, very poor health. Another one is very healthy, and you're somewhere in between. And you ask, why can't I have the health of this one who never has an ache or a pain? Why is it that the one is very, very ill? Why are there these discrepancies? That's the way it goes in the family. There's something about the party that is never quite right because there is always a jealous streak that runs through and hurts the whole situation. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? We've all gone through it. We've had our bouts with it in one way or another. And then we go to our work. Regardless of what it is. I had a flashback of that thing a few weeks ago when I was at the Cove in North Carolina at the Billy Graham Retreat Center. And here they had the pictures of some of these great, great preachers. and one suddenly has a flashback. Wow! Wouldn't it have been great if one could have reached the peak like they did? Wouldn't it be great if you could be known as a great expositor of the Scriptures? See, that's jealousy. I was thinking about this sermon on that particular day. And I had to sit down and think what joy I should have. But I was flooding around with just a little bit of jealousy. Not a whole lot. It wasn't going to hurt anybody, I could say. But it was there, and it caused me not to rejoice as much as I should because of these spiritual giants who had really reached out with the gospel and had won, by the grace of God, many people to the Lord Jesus. When I had that terrible jealous thought, why couldn't I have done it? And then I had to think, look at the opportunities that God has given me. No, there are not the talents there that are found in the lives of some of these other people. But there's a task to be done. There's a job to be done. And God can take this poor, sinful, limited flesh and use it if for no more than just one or two. You see, there's jealousy. So no matter whether we turn to our family or we turn to our work or we turn to society, there is that cry in the heart, oh God, why can't I have this or why can't I have that? Well, the question then is, how are we going to get over this? And there's only one way that I know. And that is that we have a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the only medicine to get over this jealousy. We have to let him teach us in his word how precious and important we are to him. We need to hear him say to us again on the basis of his word, I have chosen you to be my ambassador. And maybe it is not to the thousands and the tens of thousands, but maybe it's to a child in my home, a brother or a sister who doesn't know the Lord, a neighbor who turns his back on God. That's what he's given me to do. Maybe it is not with the ability that some others have, but it is with enough ability that I can communicate that same saving message of Jesus Christ to those who are round about me. That's what we need to do. We need to pray if we're going to get over this jealousy, this destructive emotion, God have mercy on me, and God use me, and God give me a thankful heart, not only on Thanksgiving weekend, but every day of the year. God, you have been so good to me. The sad thing about this text, as far as the elder brother is concerned, he missed the party. He did not get in and rejoice with those who were having such a good time. He just plain missed it, sitting outside, pouting. What a picture. You know, our jealousy can take the joy out of living. We can so lust for more. We can be so greedy that we are not able to rejoice over what we really have. Grant that we will not miss the party. For the party is living day by day with Jesus Christ, hearing him say to us, your sins are forgiven if you will but trust in me. I have suffered and died for your sins. You are mine. You are mine. That's the party. Yeah, jealousy is another one of those emotions that we're talking about, right along with anger and fear and so many others. we come right back to the one solution for it all, and that is a living, personal relationship with Jesus as we live with Him in His Word and bring our cares and our concerns and our thanksgivings to Him. Amen. Father in heaven, in the midst of our abundance, we pray for those who are hungry. Those who are hungry physically. Those who are hungry spiritually. And grant, God, that we may show our thanksgiving to you by reaching out to them, whether it be in faraway lands, whether it's hardly enough to exist on, or whether it be right here at home, whether it be with that heathen who has never heard the name of Jesus, or whether it would be with that unbeliever who lives as close as across the street. May this Thanksgiving Day motivate us to take all that we have and give back to you. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
As we conclude another Thanksgiving celebration, we offer our prayers and thanks to God for our many listeners. May God bless you and those whom you love as you travel home from your destination. Christian Crusaders is a nonprofit ministry dependent upon the free will gifts of our listening family. Memorials and honorarium gifts are a meaningful way to remember a loved one. We are thankful for each of our listeners who remember Christian Crusaders with their prayers and gifts. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number is 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Today's service is also available to be heard or read on the Internet. Hundreds of other Christian Crusaders sermons can be found in our sermon library. Check us out on the website at christiancrusaders.org. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 70th year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.